All right, well, welcome to Ask the Mayor in November. It's Kokomo with Mayor Greg Goodnight. Thank you very much again for having us this time of the month.
My pleasure, thanks.
I wanted to start, I know it's been a couple weeks, maybe you had some time to digest the national election, but wanted your reaction.
Obviously, being a Democrat, fairly disappointed. You have to keep things, in perspective, though. Hillary Clinton's going to win the popular vote with somewhere in the neighborhood of 1.6 million votes or more. So, when you look at the raw vote totals, she was the winner. The Democrats made some headway in the United States Senate. I think we picked up three more seats. So, on a national level, there weren't too many coattails. We picked up another, I think, six or eight congressional seats in the House. But obviously there was a wave that came through Indiana and we lost our Glenda Ritz, the state superintendent of public instruction. John Gregg, I thought, ran a very good race, but just fell short because of the national election. So a little disappointed. But
do you know Governor-elect Holcomb? Have you talked to him?
I have met him a few times, yeah. He came up when we had the tornadoes, came up with Governor Pence. I'm cautiously optimistic that we can, move forward. I hope they focus on helping local government, give us some tools to do our job and give us the opportunity to succeed in city government.
Pretty much, though, it was a Republican, you can maybe call it a Republican sweep, though, in the state of Indiana. Is this a message to the Democratic Party, or are there other factors that were going on here?
I think there's a little bit of everything. They won and they pretty convincingly. But when you, I think the bigger, I didn't look at the Indiana numbers. I know on a national level, President-elect Trump fell short of Mitt Romney's numbers. But more importantly, Hillary Clinton fell short of President Obama's numbers more substantially. So it was a lower turnout year. We've seen this in off-year elections, presidential year elections, that Democrats don't do well with low turnout. So they were able to get enough of their base and their supporters out. We really struggled this year on a national message. I think there are a lot of factors. I always joke that I don't want to pretend to be an expert on national politics. That's just a somewhat of a hobby, I guess, from the mayor's office of Kokomo. But if I really was an expert, I probably wouldn't be here. I'd be in Washington, D.C. But you look at these things and we struggle with the national message. Didn't seem to resonate. They did a really good job of suppressing voter turnout. For months they called it the rigged system, and there was cheating going on or potential cheating. And I think it kept a lot of people home. I think eventually she was Secretary Clinton was dragged into the mud alongside the president-elect, and that's what happened.
Well, I know we've talked a lot too, and a lot of people look up to Kokomo and look at what's being done here, and you've held other positions. You've recently were the president of the Indiana Association of Small Towns.
Cities and Towns.
Cities and Towns, and just heard that you were in Pittsburgh too.
Yeah, went out to the National League of City and I haven't been in a few years, was out there trying to get, hear some messaging and capture some ideas from other cities, and it was worthwhile to be out there. I was out there for a couple days, and those things are important, and to go out and interact and met some other mayors from across the country, and how they're able to deal with problems and a lot of same issues across the country.
Yeah, I was going to ask what are some of those message points or issues?
Well, National League of Cities, we talk about a lot of it dealt with trying to deal with climate change and how whether it's potential for droughts and flooding and just the infrastructure problems that we're all facing. We talk a lot about places like Flint, Michigan, but it goes much further than that, and trying to, you know, kind of, you know, healthcare and where, you know, how you provide for citizens and public transportation, just a lot of it tied to the infrastructure challenges we face across the country.
I assume jobs always comes up too in many different areas, and here General Motors announcing about 160 jobs being cut from a plant. They're stopping production of semiconductors by mid next year. This is something I know you've seen before. Other cities see this. It's that ebb and flow of jobs. So what does the mayor do when he hears about something like this happening in their city?
Well, they actually contacted me the day that they announced it. I think it was right after they announced it to their employees. Let me know what was going on. You know, some people will be absorbed through their labor agreement or be able to transfer to other General Motors plants. We have a plant in Marion that's close by, and Fort Wayne's not too far away. Others, you know, they're going to have to see what happens with them over the next, you know, 6, 7, 8 months. You know, I mean, there's some options, not all of them good, you know, we try to work with them the best we can, and try to work with the UAW the best we can to mitigate any problems with that.
And this is why you've mentioned in previous shows why you try to diversify the job growth in this area as well.
Sure, and a lot of it, you know, most of the job growth that has taken place over the last decade or so relies on a base of population. It's a lot of it's tied to healthcare and higher education, things like that. So, you know, the more people we have living here, the more you know, more opportunities we have for healthcare service jobs. And like I say, a lot of those in the healthcare, they pay much, much better than what most people think of when they think of just, you know, service jobs. So, you know, it's something we're continuing to focus on. 90% of the job growth has come from having a base of population. So that's what we're focusing on.
I see in the Kokomo Tribune you're looking at a new tax increment finance district. This is on the city's northeast side. A lot of people may not understand what that means in terms of how that works, grabbing tax revenue, right to
just
invest in that area.
Grabbing the increment. And what that means is there is a, you know, baseline when we when any community creates a TIF district. We have a project that's going on over there right now. It's about a $10 million Whitsitt Group, new apartments going up, and the idea is to you know, capture the growth and the new tax revenue that comes from that project. And a part of it is we're going to have to do some street improvements in that area to go alongside with the new apartments and that new $10 million private investment. So we want to make sure we capture that the new taxes that come from that project and use that to help and make improvements not just in that specific intersection or that street, but in the area in close proximity. So no one loses any tax revenue, but the taxing units don't lose anything, local taxing units, but the money goes into the into that TIF district to be spent within that TIF district.
And you used or went through the blight elimination program as well in that area. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's some areas around there that have received some of the blight elimination money and some have seen some of the blighted properties taken down. Yeah.
So, I mean, you've really taken advantage of available options out there for cities, not only taking the blighted area, but turning it into an economic activity.
Right. And it was, with no disrespect, the area had not seen any type of investment over the last few decades. It was an area that could use a little bit of TLC, and so we were able to take down some structures that were underperforming, and now we have, like I say, almost a $10 million, I think there's 70 apartments going in, three-story brick structure that will now enhance that neighborhood and just a little bit to the east, northeast of the downtown area, so hopefully it will feed off some of the energy that's taking place downtown as well.
There's a new state report finding all 92 Indiana counties having significant water, wastewater infrastructure needs, estimating $16 billion in the next 20 years for maintenance and upgrades. How does Kokomo fare in that area?
We're working through our long-term control plan. You know, we're looking at or does our revenue at our current rates match up with the cost of the projects that we're mandated by the federal and state government to put forth. And, you know, we're going to have to make some decisions here very quickly, too. Almost every city our size has went through rate increases in the last 12 or 24 months. And so we're evaluating that right now as we speak.
Yeah, I mean, how do cities maintain a budget yet try to plan for these long-term, when we're talking millions of dollars?
Yeah, it's tough. And like I say, this is through our wastewater utility normally. So, you know, we're limited on revenue streams there based on, you know, the usages and the revenue that comes in. So we do a pretty good job. I mean, it's almost a complete separation from local property tax generated expenses for a city and the public utility. So, you know, we've done a pretty good job. We haven't had a rate increase in Kokomo in 14 years. So we're probably going to have to, you know, really take a good look at this here very soon.
Do you look at state, and I'm sure state federal funds to come into play, or maybe not as
they
much
really,
as you would think?
No, they really don't come into play. They have the mandates. It's typical to have the unfunded mandate, but locals are pretty much on their own, I think.
I see the new solar park is set to open in just a couple weeks. How's that coming along?
Yeah, it looks beautiful. Yeah. That's a former federal Superfund site. The city acquired the property just a few years ago through a tax sale. It's been remediated to some extent. There are some limitations on what we could do with that property, but this is a nice private investment in the city. It creates a large solar park. And the city will receive a little bit of revenue from it, and as well as they assume the liability that goes along with it. So yeah, there's some cost savings to the taxpayers, a little bit of revenue to the taxpayers, and it's a nice project. So.
I wanted to give you a moment too to talk about. I hear there's been a missing child since October. And maybe, I don't know if you wanted to mention that in case there's any information on that.
There has been, you know, I think they're considered an adult. It's an 18-year-old.
It's an adult, okay.
Yeah, I believe they're 18 years old. There's been, but no one's been able to have, there's no reported contact with the individual. So, you know, we're looking into it and have been since it was reported to the Kokomo Police Department. And, you know, it's like any time you have a missing adult, you don't know if what circumstances may have prompted, you know, did they leave voluntarily, or are they, was there some sort of something happened, you know, any type of activity. So we're, I get an update every few days from the chief, and we're monitoring it and taking every lead and everything seriously with that.
And of course, if anyone knows anything, call the Kokomo Police Department.
Absolutely. So,
this is Thanksgiving week, and holiday events start popping up. I see that there's the Highland Park area was hit by the tornado, but that's also known as an area where they have a lot of lights, I hear.
Yeah.
Is that still going on?
We are still going to, yeah. It's we had to really, kudos to the Parks Department. They really had to hustle this year to make that happen. It will look a little different. We lost, I think, 70 or so very mature trees in that park. It's a beautiful light display. Won't have quite background when you go through it, but we encourage people to come out and at least enjoy it. But a lot of nice displays from different partners here in the community. So, we're looking forward.
Yeah, I hear cleanup and rebuilding is going pretty well, though.
It's going pretty well. The cleanup of the park, it's something we're going to focus on. We have established a Rebuild Highland Park Fund, and we've gotten a lot of contributions from major businesses, and we've also had a lot of private donations. We're going to make sure that happens, and it's ready to go by at least the middle part of the spring, and hopefully restore the park. You know, the trees, we planted almost 200 trees in Highland Park this fall. Obviously, not to the size and the stature of the trees that we lost, but we're starting that, and then we're going to put some new playground equipment in and around there that should be ready by mid-spring.
So if people want to come to that event, is there a special type of opening event for that holiday light thing, or how does that work?
It works. It's just a kind of a slow drive down Stadium Drive, which runs right through the park, and we partner with the Wise Men here in not-for-profit here in the community. And so, yeah, you can just come through at night. I think it's open 7 days a week.